Susan Slesser joins us from the San Francisco Chronicle. Of course, Susan covers the Giants. Susan, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Marty. How are you doing?
Well, I think we're doing well. We're at that point of the season. You've done this for so many years, and I love talking about it, that you kind of assess where you are. And I think you pointed out the other day that, you know, we're about 54 games into this season. Of the last 54 games, they're 26-28. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's, you know, to me, the thing that really jumps out is they now have a sub 500 record against teams that are at or under 500. That's just not a good way to go if you're a team that has any sort of playoff aspirations. They are not beating the teams that they should be. And how often have we been talking about the defense and the mental mistakes? And those things continue. They play, every game seems to be a one-run game. If you're playing one-run games, you cannot, you know, this trend is very poor. And that's why I think Dave Kapler's kind of leash on some of this stuff is getting very short. He is not on board with the mental mistakes and the constant mental mistakes that we've been seeing.
Well, 20 of the last 27 games have been one or two runs. How about that? And that's where the mental mistakes get you. I brought up something in the open today about Belt. Number one, he's not hitting. Okay, we've seen that before with him, and then all of a sudden he gets hot. But defensively, in the shift, he plays so far off first base that when he gets a ground ball, he's got to be Joe Montana and then throw to the pitcher covering. And Duvall was just not ready for that throw. And that's a new aspect of the defense that they don't really work on.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, but Kapler said a lot of times recently that they need to kind of work on some of their practices and processes. And that's you make a good point when you do have your defensive alignments, you know, that are a little bit unusual and aren't things that maybe they work on regularly. That probably is something that needs to be taken into consideration. But, yeah, at the same time, that's a play that should be made. It really should be.
Yep. I felt that Belt rushed the play, too, with the runner running down the line was Gavin Sheets, Larry Sheets' son, former Oriole. And he doesn't run that well, and Belt rushed it. And it was a play that was typical of what they've done lately, which gets them into trouble. Susan, so where do they go here? You know, this is June. July is coming up. I'm sure we're going to have a whole month of talking about tinkering with this team. Where can they go here?
Well, I think if they feel like they're potential contenders still, they need to go out and get some help. I don't think that I'm alone in thinking that. They need a bat. I think it's pretty clear the offense has been very inconsistent. They need they probably could use some starting pitching now because their pitching depth has really plummeted. And, you know, I'm sure they'll add a reliever because they always seem like they do, and there are plenty to be had. To me, you know, we've talked a lot about catching. I still would love to see them get, you know, you could take care of a bat and a catcher with, you know, going out and getting somebody like Wilson Contreras. So I think that there are a few different possibilities there, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. You know, we'll find out what they think they are. I don't know what they are. I had lunch with a longtime baseball person last week, and they said, are the Giants good or bad? And I was like, I don't know. I can't tell. You know, it depends on the day. And some of it's injuries, sure. But at some point, yeah, everybody's got injuries. At some point, we got to stop saying like, oh, it's because, you know, player X is out or player Y is out. Everybody's dealing with that stuff. They had injuries last year. They won 107 games. So we all have to get away from expecting them to be at all like last year's team. They're not. They're not as good a team. And they've got some fundamental flaws. And literally fundamental, and those things shouldn't be happening. The base running, the mental mistakes on defense, those are things that this team did not do last year. I'm sure there were a game or two that, you know, maybe a mistake played a factor in a loss, but not to the extent we've seen this year.
Well, for me, it's the starting pitching. You know, you've got Webb and you got Rodon, and they give you, you know, six innings. They could take you into the seventh inning. But after that, it becomes very questionable, and we'll talk about DeSclafani here in a second. And what it's doing is it's putting the bullpen in the game early. And when you look at the bullpen innings, they're right up there with the most innings in baseball. You know, you're up there with the Pirates and the Cubs and the Nationals. And I think they need a starting pitcher. I think that's an area they can do something. To me, it looks like DeSclafani is going to be out for a while. I know Junis is coming back. But I think they need a starting pitcher, and that would not disrupt everything. You get a right-handed hitting outfielder, and all of a sudden four players get disrupted. Starting pitching, I think you can put somebody in there.
Yeah, I don't have really that much of a problem with the back end of the rotation. You know, we keep talking about, like, the metrics show both Cobb and Wood are pitching much better than their traditional stats show. And, you know, for sort of a 4-5, 3-4-5 kind of guys, I think they're pretty good. Yeah, the pitching depth is poor. Do you go out and get, like, a 1 or 2 type starter? Those things cost a pretty penny. I don't know if they necessarily, and I'm not sure, how they're going to be able to swing something like that. I think the bigger need to me is a bat because the offense has been so inconsistent. But, I see what you're saying, Marty. I'm not sure it's quite as dire. And Junis should be back at some point. But I think they'll get a starter. I'm just wondering if it's going to be a guy who's more of a back-end guy or a frontline starter would be very interesting. And, sure, that would help. I would love it. But they still need a bat for me.
Yeah, they need both. For me, they need both. And the bat, well,
you know,
for
what?
Sure. Yeah.
Here's an easy easy fix. Go talk to the A's, get Montas and Sean Murphy in one deal.
Really? That would do it. I'll tell you another thing. Don't hoard minor leaguers. You know, I'm looking at this Yoán Moncada. Remember him for Boston?
Yeah,
and he was going to be the next great player that was going to come up. And, of course, the White Sox traded Sale to Boston, got him back. Everyone was excited. He doesn't do much. And I think we get into this thing, this mentality of the minor leaguers are the greatest things ever. They're in the minor leagues. You can part with some of them. You're going to get more this July. You're going to get a whole new group of them. Give up some of those minor leaguers. I think the Giants have to do it, and I encourage them to do it.
I agree with you. I mean, having covered the A's as long as I did, I saw them trade away tons of very highly ranked prospects over the years. How many of those guys went on to be actual stars? Very few. And every team has somebody they traded that they regret. Every team. But when you look at it, with the exception of a few franchises that are not well run, there aren't many misses. And you're going to get back something, usually a tried and true big leaguer who can help you right now. Mm-hmm. If you're in a position to win now, do it, because you never know what your window is going to be. I don't know what the Giants' window is. I don't know where they are, really. Like, kind of goes back to, are they good or bad? Where are they? And when you look at a long-term picture, you know, some of their most prominent players are older. What is the plan at those positions? You know, I talked to Evan Longoria this week. He said, you know, this could be it for him. What's your plan at third base? You know, what's your plan at shortstop now? This is not just a team where I'm wondering what the plan is for this year. I'm wondering for the next several years. So I don't know what their window is. If they have some window this year, go for it. Absolutely go for it.
Well, that's where I am. The window is this year, because after that, Belt will be gone. Longoria is probably going to be gone next year. Craw's slowed down a lot. They've got Ruff back for another year. Jock Peterson could be gone after this year. So, yeah, I say that the window is now. Give up some of those minor leaguers, Susan, and do what you suggest. Get a right-handed hitting bat and get a starting pitching. Get a starting pitcher. And I would give up the minor leaguers. I don't have a problem doing it. So it's fun. We'll see what happens. That's what July is all about. You wrote an interesting article this week about one of the coaches. Share that with us.
Yeah, it's, you know, Craig Albernez is the bullpen coach, and he is absolutely delightful. It's so nice now that, you know, the pandemic restrictions are lifted and we can actually chit-chat with some of this really, you know, obviously very large, but super interesting coaching staff. And Craig is so funny. The first thing you notice when you talk about him is he's got one of the world's thickest Boston accents, which is hilarious. And, you know, looking into his background, you know, coming from a Tampa organization, they're so good in their minor league system. And just, you know, very well-run organization, period. And, you know, I noticed, oh, hey, yeah, this is a guy who was a catcher, a very good catcher for a long time in a system that included Stephen Vogt. So I called Stephen Vogt, and Stephen Vogt loves Craig Albernez. And everybody in the Bay Area knows Stephen Vogt and what kind of guy he is and what sort of baseball person he is, and he could not speak more highly. It's funny because at the start of the year, I did a story about Mark Hallberg, and I kind of feel like I now have the market on former Giants catchers raving about a current Giants coach story niche. I've got that cornered because Buster Posey, absolutely, you know, he's Mark Halberg's one of his best friends, and he'd recommended him. But Stephen Vogt absolutely loves Albernaz. But he's so funny. He's so good at what he does. He's ultra prepared. You know, the job out there is to make sure the relievers are ready, that they have all the right information, that they're warming up correctly. They know who they're going in to face, you know, what the situation is, et cetera. And obviously he's top notch at all that. But bullpens are so full of interesting personalities. And he's a guy who's had some experience pitching as a position player, but also, again, a great, great catcher. So he's got a unique perspective on that. And he's funny. He can keep it light. He's always like, you know, on the phone to the dugout. And it's not always like who's going in when. It's like, hey, how are you guys doing there? How's your caffeine intake? You know, it's fun stuff. Plus, they all love the accent and they all try to imitate it. And they've had days where he's supposed to talk normally and all the rest of the relievers have to use a Boston accent. I would actually love to see that. They all do an impersonation. Vogt does an impersonation. It's so good. If you've he said that it's been a tough week for him because the Tigers were in town and every single media he had to say Tucker Barnhart. And I can only approximate it, but it basically comes out as something like Tucker Barnhart. So,
very good. Yeah,
that was a fun story to write. And really, like every coach on the staff has like such an interesting backstory. And they're all so good at their job. They're all driven, motivated people. And I really like it. It's kind of fun to do something a little different now and then and kind of highlight some of the people that are a little bit behind the scenes.
I think it's terrific. And, you know, it's funny when they, you know, Dave Righetti was here, Mark Gardner, of course, the professor's still around, Ron Wotus, and people like that. You knew them. You saw them. They could walk into a restaurant. You knew them right away. These coaches, if they walked in the room, you wouldn't know them. And that's why it's nice to get some publicity on them. But I wish they were more visible. And I know they work hard, but it would be nice if they were visible.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one person everyone recognizes at this point, and deservedly so, is Alyssa Nacken, who does get tons of publication, and she should. She's amazing. But everyone on that staff really is somebody that, you know, that they have so many backgrounds that are unusual for a big league staff. You know, this is not a bunch of former, you know, prominent former baseball players. These are people that are coming from the college ranks who are career minor leaguers. You know, it's not your normal staff. And I mean that in a good way. They really have thought outside the box with putting together the staff, and really, I'm really impressed with it. Everybody I talk to, they're so sharp. They're all on board with the really different ways that the Giants do things. And you learn a lot from talking to them. Plus, they're fun. They're fun, smart, interesting people.
Good stuff. Very good. I'm glad you did that. All right. Your significant other, Dan Brown, had quite a week, too. How about that?
Yeah, the Marla Hooch story.
In New York Times.
You're going to find. Yeah, that was a blast to read. You know, he's always had a long-time interest in A League of Their Own. It's one of his favorite movies. So he's written about it quite a lot. And that was quite a find talking to Marla. Man, I've always loved that character. Loved the movie, but she's an absolute delight.
That was great. It was great to see it. You guys had a good week. What about today with Logan Webb? I call him the ace. I think he's an all-star. I just think this guy, you give him a lead, he knows what to do with it. Very special kid. This is a tough matchup today. Dylan Cease, you've seen him before. You know, 121 strikeouts, Susan, 81 innings. Come on. How about that?
Yeah. He's nasty. They they just don't see team much. So this is one where you're going off a lot of video. You're going off a lot of the scouting report. The one thing, even though the offense has been very inconsistent this year, the approach is usually pretty good. This is a team that does know how to have a good at bat. So I'm going to be interested to see what the lineup looks like. And we could have another interesting pitching duel like last night. So you find the margins. You do the little things right. And this is a team that really needs to start doing that. They were better, you know, but this is a stretch. They really should have come out with a really nice, bunch of wins, and they haven't. So they need to get it in gear here.
Come on, I said 8-3, and everyone on Twitter's yelling at me now. You know,
that's what they needed to do. That is what that's what they needed to do, and they're not. It's concerning, Marty. It's concerning.
Yeah, it is. It is. You expect more out of him. What about Yastrzemski? 14 for 87, 8 for his last 54. Belt, 1 for 19, 3 for 27. You know, they've had such strength with the left-handed lineup, and these guys are really struggling right now.
Yaz is showing signs of coming out of it. He tends to run a little streaky. He seems to have a good handle on it. Certainly his approach and kind of the mindset is what you want. And both of them, you know, usually give you great defense, and his defense recently has just been off the charts great and playing multiple positions too. So I'm not really neither one of these guys is a guy that I'm necessarily worried about from an offensive standpoint. Belt's power is down, and we're seeing that across the board. I don't know, humidor, baseball, who knows? Some of these things are like that, but at somebody the stage of his career, like Belt, when you see that the power's down, he seems to be flying out just kind of short of the track an awful lot. You'd like to see some of the more of those balls going out. So I'm not saying that this is necessarily a factor of age or health, but that is something that has kind of been noticeable here the last few weeks.
Well, we'll end on this one. Kapler got a little bit of heat on social media, with the platooning early in the game, mid-game. Now, he did it last night. As soon as Banks came in, the only lefty the White Sox have, and here comes Slater and Ruff and Peterson and Wade are out of the game. Do you think he's going to change that in any way, or do you think he's still going to be platooning and even platooning mid-game the way he's been doing it, or do you think he's going to relook at this?
I think this is something that, as an organization, they might want to take a look at, because it's clear that teams are coming in and kind of thinking this way. They want to get that right-handed hitting bunch in there earlier. So I think they're going to see this a lot, getting more lefties coming in earlier, depending on, whoever the opposing starter is and how they're looking at the time. Kapler, all I can do is go off what he's told us, and he consistently says this is the way we do things. So unless or until there's sort of an organizational shift on how they employ their bench, this is what we're going to see. Nobody wants to see Jock Peterson come out of the lineup early. He's been one of their few consistent guys. One of the things that we saw when Luis Gonzalez was healthy and it was in there was he was not one of the ones who was subject to this. He was actually, still in the lineup against left-handed starters. He was staying in against left-handed relievers. I think Jock's done enough to maybe get that consideration, mm-hmm. Particularly for a team that is really struggling to score.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. That's going to be the topic of conversation is how they platoon, especially if they're still not scoring runs and they take out the guys who the fans kind of want to see. Susan, always a pleasure. Great to catch up with you. Enjoy the July 4th weekend.
Awesome. Nice to talk to you, Marty. Awesome. Yeah. I will. All right. Thanks, Marty. Have a great one.
All right. Always a pleasure. That's Susan Slusser of the Chronicle. Boy, Bill coming up next. Very interesting guest, Steve Stone, former Giant, and he is the analyst on the White Sox TV network, and always great to hear his voice. So we'll come back, Bill Lasky and Steve Stone, right after this on the Sports Leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.